Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of the of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord, God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his name, his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Okay. Thank you, Hugh. Thank you, Young. We're into now chapter 15 and 16 this afternoon. Just to remind you that when we were into chapters 12 and 13, we considered the events that will take place at the midpoint of the 7 years of tribulation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now we come to the end of those 7 years, and the events we refer to now and recorded in chapters 15 and 16, they all relate to the end of those 7 years. So what was at the midpoint? We've now travelled through the last 3.5 years. We're now at the end of those 3.5 years that will bring to a conclusion, ultimately, the days as years of great tribulation, and that, of course, by the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ out from heaven. In chapter 15, it's obvious, of course, that the main subject of chapter 15 is to introduce to us these seven angels, to whom were given seven plagues of the wrath of God. We find that they came out of the temple, and then one of the four living creatures in the temple gave unto these seven angels, he gave unto them seven plagues. And in the outpouring of those seven plagues, we read the wrath of God. It filled up the wrath of God. So chapter 15 really is an introductory chapter to the events that we have here in chapter 16. What is introduced briefly is now in detailed for us in this chapter. You'll observe, of course, that in the chapter, we go through the first three angels and the bowl judgment that was given to them. And then verse 5 down to verse 7, there's a break before we get to the fourth angel and the fourth of those vials to be poured out upon the earth. So when we go through the chapter, we've got verses 1 to 4, and then we have a break, verses 5, 6, 7, and then we have from verse 8 down to verse 13, possibly. We have then, or verse, yes, when about that, we then have the next sounding of or the pouring out of these plagues given unto these angels. So we have 1, 2, 3, then we have the fourth angel. And then after the fourth angel, we read, and they repented not to glorify God. So in spite of the judgments of God, it did not lead men to repent and to glorify God. And then again, from verse 8 down to verse 13, verse 12, we have now the next set of judgments. And again, we find that they repented not. And then, of course, when we come to verse 18, to the end of the chapter, we now have the seventh of these angels with the seventh last plague to be poured out upon the earth. So, really, it's a very solemn chapter. It's what's actually going to happen literally. Let me stress that. Literally. Upon men and women living upon the earth in these days of which this chapter speaks. We say literally because when you compare chapter 16 with the plagues of Exodus, when God sent plagues among the Egyptians, and up to verse number 11 of that chapter, we find that there's a similarity between the plagues that God sent upon Pharaoh and his land with the plagues that are yet to be sent out upon men upon the earth. Let me point out again, before we look at these different plagues, that really, those who are upon the earth at this point in time are those who have received the mark of the beast, who have worshipped his image, and who set him as a sole object of their worship. I take it that those who have who refuse the mark of the beast and refuse to worship the image of the beast, these are those who've known what it is to, because of their faith in God, to experience martyrdom. And so we find that in this chapter, you've got those, the faithful ones of God, there's many of those who've been martyred. And they've got those who took the mark of the beast, which identified them with the beast. They come under the immediate, physical, direct judgment of God, and that from heaven. So let's have a look and see. We observe, first of all, that we have the first angel. When he pours out his bowl, for the word vial is translated bowl in the other translations, his bowl of the wrath of God poured out. It was poured out upon men, and as a grievous sore, that gave men great pain. And so we find that at the very beginning of these last days of the end of the tribulation period, God is going to pour out upon those who receive the mark of the beast and worship his image. He's going to pour out by means of the angel a great noisome and grievous sore upon men and women upon the earth who've given their allegiance unto the beast and worship his image. So we find the first of God's judgments will be upon individuals. And later in the chapter, it was because of these pains. So he speaks about these sores, this grievous sore. It gave them great pain. But then when the second angel poured out his vial, it was not now upon men, it was upon the sea. And what happened when he poured his vial upon the sea? The sea was turned into blood. You see, we are talking about things that will be literal in that day. No problem, is it, to God? For he did that in the land of Egypt. That was one of the plagues God sent upon Pharaoh. The waters were turned into blood. And so we find the sea was turned into blood, and all that lived in the sea died. And most probably is the blood of the men who died under the wrath of God in the second vial of his judgment poured out by angel number two, as we might call him. So that meant that their food supply from the sea was shut off, for the sea was turned into blood. And then we find that the third angel, when he poured out his bowl of the wrath of God, it was upon the fountain, upon the rivers and the fountains of waters. That is, upon the source of supply of the drinking water of the people in these last days. And God is going to turn even their drinking water into blood. And then we find that in verses 4, verses 5, 6, and 7, we have now an explanation. First of all, there's a declaration that God himself is righteous, and therefore all his judgments are true and righteous. And so in between these seals in the record of this chapter, there's a declaration of the righteousness of God, and all his judgments, says another verse, are true and righteous. But we're also not only told of the character of God, the God of judgment, we're also now told of the reason why their rivers, their drinking water, was turned into blood. Because they had shed the blood of his saints and prophets. And here is God's vengeance, retribution if you will, being poured out upon those who shed the blood of saints. The many that will be martyred during these 7 years, and in particular these last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And now God is going to make them drink of blood, for all the rivers and the fountain of water was actually turned into blood. This was God's retribution for a people who shed the blood of his saints and his prophets. And so as we open this chapter through these first three judgments, the outpouring of these first three vials, we see how God is going to act and move, what God would do during the last days of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And let me repeat again, these are the most solemn verses. These are the most solemn acts of God, which is upon a people who have rebelled against God, disowned God. They've given their whole allegiance unto the beast, worshipping his image. And so we find that the judgments of God is to be poured out upon an earth that is in rebellion against himself, for all those who will be faithful to God. It would seem from the reading of this chapter, many, many multitudes of saints will be martyred by the beast and by his armies. And so we find then that what we have here in these opening verses, we have the outpouring of the vials of God's wrath and the reason because they shed the blood of saints and the character of God in so doing, because God is righteous and all his works also are true and righteous. Now we come to the fourth vial. The angel that pours out the fourth of these vials of God's judgment, please.
His eye upon the sun and powers.
Now then, what God did now. And as John said, I saw these marvellous, these wonderful signs now in heaven, that God now, he actually pours his wrath upon the sun. So it's not only the wrath of God upon men, it's the wrath of God upon his creation. And God is going to give to the sun such power. It's called fire, of course, in our chapter. He's going to give to the sun such strength. It actually will scorch men and women upon the earth. And this is all part and parcel of divine wrath being poured out upon ungodly men and women upon the earth. Notice now, it's not just one part of the earth. You see, it's a worldwide judgment on the part of God. God is going to clear the whole of the world. He's going to clear all unbelievers and those who are rebelling against him. He's going to clear them off the earth altogether. And here in these judgments, we see how God begins and how solemn, how serious, that such will be the heat of the sun will actually scorch men and women. And as they are scorched, again we notice they blasphemed. They blasphemed God. There may have been a lack of water, but they still had enough voice to blaspheme God. And they repented not to give him glory. Let me remind you of what Paul says in Romans chapter 2. It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. But here are men who set aside God altogether, rebelled against him. And even the judgments of God cannot alter their position and their situation. Therefore, they blaspheme God. And so we come. That is the vial number four. Now, vial number five.
Fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast.
Now then, the judgments of God. Now, in this vial that's poured out by this angel, is actually centered upon the throne and the kingdom of the beast. Now, by this time, I take it that the beast will have made Babylon as the capital of his kingdom. And we find now that God is going to pour out upon the very throne of the beast, the kingdom of the beast, the people of the beast. And his judgment will be that of darkness, such darkness that they will gnaw their tongues. Well, God did that, of course, in Egypt. And so men and women just sat in absolute darkness, not able to do anything. God is going to do that again on a far greater scale, for the whole kingdom of the beast will be dealt with by God, and darkness will fall upon that kingdom, on that throne. Such darkness will cause men to gnaw their tongues, for in such darkness, the blackness of darkness we may call it, they could do nothing. They could not see. And so we find that God uses darkness as one of his judgments at the end time of the tribulation period, that men might know of the way in which they've disobeyed God and rebelled against God, that God is not unmindful of the attitude and conduct and behavior of men upon the earth. And so during these last days of those 7 years of tribulation, these are the judgments. God actually dealing with men and women upon the earth, direct from heaven. Notice, it is upon those who receive the mark of the beast, who've taken his name and worship his image. And so you see, the judgment of God are worldwide. because such would be the character of the worldwide influence of the beast, that all men will be affected by his rule and by his authority and by his commands. And so we find the judgment of God will be, again, worldwide. And all who are part and parcel of the kingdom of the beast, they will experience this awful blackness of darkness to such an extent that men actually gnaw their tongues. We cannot begin to visualize what it will mean to be in total darkness, absolute blackness, not being able to see anything. Such will be part and parcel of the judgments of God, direct from heaven, against the throne and the kingdom of the beast and all his subjects and all his followers. And then?
And the sixth angel, and they didn't repent, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the pit with the Euphrates.
And it's very interesting at this point that the next vial that's poured out is upon the great river Euphrates. And you will know, I'm sure, that Babylon sits on the river Euphrates. That's a great river associated with Babylon. Always has been. And now God is going to pour out his judgment upon that river, that great river. And he's going to dry the waters so that there will be no water in that, and the great river Euphrates. Well, we're not surprised that God can do that. He did something like that at the Red Sea. He did something like that at the Jordan. He dried up the waters so that the Israelites could go through into the promised land on dry foot. And so we find at the end time, God is going to dry up the waters of the great river Euphrates. What for? That the way of the rulers of the east might have their way prepared. In other words, during these closing days of great tribulation, when God is dealing with men in his judgments, this great river will be dried up to make a way, to prepare a way for the coming in, our verse says, of the kings, the rulers of the east. And so we find that these judgments of God are actually coming to a climax as we come through these different judgments. Next verse.
I saw three unclean spirits like frogs.
Now it is at this point we break off from the judgments before we get the next of the pouring out of the vase. Now John says, what I saw was this. He said, you see, I saw three unclean spirits. Well, he said they were like frogs. They were coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that is Satan, and the beast, and the false prophet. And these three frog-like spirits are called the spirit of demons. So at this point in God's dealings with mankind upon earth, there's going to be an outgoing of demons. Demons will have the ability to actually do miracles, to convince the rulers of the world of their main objective, that these are satanic as to their source. And the two satanic agents are the means also. And so from these demon spirits, the rulers of the world are going to be deceived by the miracles that they do. Why? It is God's purpose at this point that the rulers of the world might be gathered together and gathered together at a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And you will notice, won't you, that it's not the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is the place to which God will gather the nations of the world to that one place. And we find that in our chapter, it's through the dragon and the beast and the false prophet that these spirits will emanate and cause to deceive the nations, so that all the armies of the world will now be gathered together, and that at the place called Armageddon.
Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth.
Now it is at this point that the Lord says now, he says, behold, I come. And he's coming And when he comes, he says, blessed is he that watches. So he's going to come as a thief. And the one who watches, so he keeps his garment so he does not be found naked, and his shame to be seen when the Lord comes. And so amidst all these judgments, we have this promise that the Lord is going to come as a thief, not to, for the church. This is in relation to the earth. This is in relation to the world. This is in relation to the beast when he's in full display as to his power and authority received from Satan himself. He's going to come as a thief at that time when they're least expecting God to move. And blessed is he that keepeth, that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Please.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice.
Now we come to the next of the vial judgments. And what we have now, is it the seventh, isn't it?
Seventh.
The seventh angel pours out his vial of wrath into the air. Now it's interesting, isn't it? It's into the air. That the last of these angels, who has the last of the seven vials, he pours out the content of his vial into the air. So it's going to affect now the whole of the world, where this vial is poured out into the air.
And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done.
And then it is at this point, with the pouring out of this last of the vials of the wrath of God, that now there's a voice out from the very temple of God. No man could enter into that temple, not once these angels were active in pouring out of their vials of wrath. But there's a voice out from the temple. And it declares that with the pouring out of the seventh vial, that the wrath of God now is filled up. It is done. The word is, it is finished. The whole of God's wrath are gathered together in these seven plagues. And when the seventh plague has been poured out, then the wrath of God is completed, finished, and done.
And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as...
Now, it's very interesting that from this point, we're now introduced to what will happen when this vial is poured into the earth. There's going to be a great earthquake. Such an earthquake as has not been since man began to dwell upon the earth. So here's a great and a mighty earthquake such as never been seen before. And we find that it makes a difference between Jerusalem and the rest of the cities of the nations. For under this earthquake, this mighty great earthquake, where we find the cities of nations will just fall. That as far as the city of Jerusalem is concerned, that will be divided into three parts. Not destroyed, divided. For Jerusalem will ever be, the city of God. And that Jerusalem will be ultimately the centre of the reign of Christ, for that's where his throne will be when he comes to reign for 1,000 years. So God does make a difference. The earthquake divides the great city, and it's only Jerusalem that is called the great city. You have it in chapter 8, you have it again in this chapter. But when it comes to the cities of the nations, they fall, completely destroyed. Well, we've seen something of the damage that earthquakes cause, even in our present day. And it's really horrendous. But think about this. When the cities of the nations are completely wiped off the earth, destroyed.
And every island fled away.
And not only that, the islands fled away. And the mountains disappeared. What a tremendous earthquake this will be when God finalizes his judgment upon a world that has rejected him. Please.
And they fell upon men a great hail out of heaven.
And the final act was this, that God would send out from heaven a great hail. And then we're told the size of the stones. 1 talent. Well, I can remember that that's been explained. It could be anything from 100 to 130 pounds in weight. We just stop to think, don't we? Here's the finality of the wrath of God upon an ungodly world. And as the hailstones fall, 100-some pound weight, maybe as much as 130 pound weight. You see the awful devastation and the loss of life there will be when God pours out from his heaven his final act of judgment, a great hail, about a talent in weight.
Yeah, just a man blessing God because of the plague of their hands.
And therefore we read, the results upon men is this, they blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, because of all that's gone before. And we find that under the judgment of God, those who've given their devotion to the beast, no response, there's no repentance. They cannot repent. They've already given themselves to the worship of the beast. They're under the control of the beast. And now we find it's not possible for these even to repent and give glory to God. And so we find that in these solemn chapters, chapter 15 preparatory, chapter 16, the actual detail. And so we come to the end. Because as if it were not for chapter 17 and 18, the very next chapter 19, the Lord will come out from heaven. But we've got chapter 17 that takes us back to midpoint of the week, midpoint of those 7 years. Then chapter 18, when we have the fall of Babylon, the destruction of Babylon described in all its fullness. So we just trust that in these difficult chapters, to think what men will have to endure because of their rebellion against God, how solemn they are. And yet, God is holy. God is righteous. And all his judgments are true and righteous. Now we trust God will bless his word to us.